In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Karen Stewart and Matt Johnson, all your favourites, to talk about a new level of seeing in the Spirit. Hello and a very warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and I am joined by two more of my staff team. You have heard their dulcet and anointed tones before, so you know as soon as I say their names, you're in for another blessed, rip-roaring episode. It is Karen Stewart and Matt Johnson. Hi, Karen. Hi, Matt. How are you both doing?
We're good.
You got me with the dulcet because I thought you were going to say another dull moment, and then... We're not all off track right from there.
I would never be as rude as to call you dull.
In fact, not ever.
You are a whole load of hilarity.
Karen's amazing.
Have we talked about your electric clothes?
Have you not? Have you not? You've talked about it endlessly in person. Have you not mentioned it online?
The cast behind the glass is entertained by our production manager.
The last time I saw you, you didn't know.
No.
She's got electric clothes. She's got plug-in clothes. The world needs to know.
Last time I saw your daughter, she said, you're giving me Tony Stark vibes. You know that, right? So I wear a heated vest.
Right.
And it has a light here.
By vest, she doesn't mean vest in the way the British understand vest.
Oh, like a body warmer.
She means like a gilet.
What is a vest to you?
A vest would be a piece of underwear that you wear under your shirt.
No, a vest to me would be like a white.
Yes.
Yeah.
Underwear.
It's underwear.
A vest is a piece of underwear.
I thought that would just be like...
Yes, we call it a vest.
It's a gilet.
Don't worry.
Thank you, Matt. We're here.
I know it's this strange Irish one.
Okay. So it has a light here, and it's like, you know...
That's on the lapel.
Yes, right here. High, medium, or low. And so, I've worn this since I've gotten here, and she never noticed it until she did. And now, everywhere, all the time... in front of large crowds with a microphone, she likes to point out that I have electric clothing on.
Well, it's only because the light flashes on it, it means she's on.
The light never flashes, actually.
Is there a light on it? It doesn't flash.
It's a light that is solid. It never flashes. And two members of the staff who can't control themselves, I'm going to give their names also because I think it's deserving, Caroline Swan and Allison Terrell, cannot walk past me without pressing the button just because it brings them great joy.
They just want to keep you warm.
That's what they want. I'm convinced that Emma makes a joke out of it because she wants one and she just doesn't want to say it in front of the crowd.
You should buy one for Christmas.
I think it's epic.
It is epic.
Do they do white really fluffy gilets? Where did you get it?
We need to change the subject because just this right here, I can't and I won't. White fluffy gilets. Are you joking?
No, but yours
would
is
you
black.
Ever see me wearing such a thing? No, a white fluffy gilet or any other such thing.
You would wear it white fluffy like sheepskin.
Yes, you would. I know that you would, but no. And I'm sure they might, but I've never looked for them.
Where did you buy it? How did you find electric clothes?
Listen, everyone I know has them. Well, in the cold world that I'm from. In fact, I came in March without it, and my little sister said, I said, I was going to bring the vest, and I thought this is going to be so ridiculous.
Body warmer.
I told you to bring it. Why didn't you bring it? I told you you should bring it. I said, okay, I'm going to get it. And so I brought it. And now everybody wants one. You know, she did have an idea because I have two. I haven't worn it. I have like a hoodie that comes down to here.
To your knees?
Yes. It's a big furry hoodie. And it's also electric.
You charge a battery pack?
Well, yeah, battery. You never noticed the battery ever. You never noticed it ever until I showed you where it was.
Do you have electric shoes as well, Karen? And you like ride them down the office with wheels?
Okay, Matt Johnson. You know, we've been good and you've been one of my faves. But see, this is going to take a turn because now I feel like every time I walk by, people will be trying to look for a button to press.
That's all right. Well,
and then you would shit off.
We'd just steal our shoes and then we'd be down the office before anyone else knew.
Sam decided that he wants to make it a whole go-kart where he has the remote control so that he can speed me up walking faster. because he's convinced that I'm the slowest walker in the entire company. I said, I think you should do that.
Can we just testament to everyone listening? She is the slowest walker.
I am.
From one end of the office to the other, 3 hours later.
I tell them that I'll meet you when I get there. And you're always there waiting.
I don't know why we're going to make this spiritual.
This is true stories. Mm-hmm, true stories. Yes. My electric
clothing. Karen Stewart, you were the gift to the office that we never knew we needed.
There you go.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant, isn't it?
It is brilliant.
Maybe we need an entrepreneurial brain that will brand the electric
white fluffy gilet.
We'll call it the Karen. Well, Karn?
Karn.
The Karn?
It has to be the Karn, yes.
Plug-in clothes.
Plug-in
spiritually clothes. Charged up.
That might be the
spiritually
Lord.
Spiritually charged up. Oh, come on. That the branding juices are flowing.
Yeah, that might be the... You know, I have an entrepreneurial bent, so that might be the Lord.
That yes, it might be the Lord.
It also could be a load of nonsense. You can go either way.
We'll let you decide, viewers. Yes.
The gift of discernment. Oh my days.
Okay.
I've heard of electric blankets, but never electric clothes.
Yeah, electric blankets, but not electric clothes.
Oh yeah, it's wonderful. Because I wear it all the time and you all don't even notice most of the time I have it on. Now it's noticeable because everyone points it out.
Well, and the light flashes.
It does not flash ever. Not ever.
Well, we'll be going
unless it's in
pressing
her mind.
That button now.
Those two, Caroline and Ann, I'm telling you, every time they see me, it's a masqueraded hug, which really is a wraparound to tap the button.
To heat you up.
To heat me
like
up.
You wouldn't notice.
Correct!
How hot does it go?
I never wear it on high because it's really, really hot. And I don't do that because I like the battery to last all day. It's a whole science that goes with it. She's laughing because she wants one. I don't care what anybody says.
For when she keeps chickens, that'll be perfect.
I'm telling you.
And you know, open.
Let me tell you, when I was here in March for RPs, there was an RP that
raising
had
profits.
Yes, a Raising Profits. An RP had one. And she recognized the light, which is only recognizable when it's pointed out, by the way. I said, you have the vest. She said, oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Gilet.
I said, it is
gilet.
Cool. The gilet.
That's why everyone was cozying up so close to you, Karen.
That's why they come to hug you, because you're hot. Right, Matt, please prophesy. Somebody please help us out.
Time for something spiritual.
Time for something spiritual.
That can be your first t-shirt.
That's what I should do. Time for something spiritual.
Oh,
yeah. My first
Lord,
gilet.
Speak.
Okay, please,
through
Lord.
Your prophet, Matt. Help us out, Matt. Mm-hmm. What's the Lord saying to you? I don't even know how to form a link.
I have no idea how to form a link either.
I don't either. So what is the Lord saying?
Well, not even a bright idea would work. So... Sorry. Yes. No. What
plug
is
plug yourself into the Lord?
Plug
yourself into the Spirit. Yes.
Oh come
so,
on.
We're so super spiritual. All the Christian bingos is getting hit today.
That's it.
So I've been spending a lot of time in the room of perspective.
In the Spirit, God has been catching you up in the Spirit to a room called perspective. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm translating your Geordie accent. Keep going.
Yes. So thank you for my translator. So I've been caught up into the spirit realm, into the room called perspective. Uh-huh. And the Lord had recently been, I've been constantly pushing, I want to see more, I want to see further, I want to see higher.
Can I just ask, what germinated that desire for more? Because some folk just get into a bit of a routine and they feel quite calmed by, I know this bit, I've seen the eyes of Jesus, or pick the kind of repetitive things. I've seen a little bit of a glimpse of a living creature or an elder casting down a crown, or I've seen something flash by my eyes, a bit like an Ezekiel 1 wheel within a wheel. And people get quite like, oh, yay, Jesus. So what's driving that?
And I think the interesting thing is people stop there. Just to add to that,
uh-huh.
The drive for me is I want to know you more, Jesus.
Ah.
And knowing you more means spending more time in your realms.
Very good.
And in heaven. So that looks like, yes, we'll see Jesus with eyes of fire, but does he always have eyes of fire? I mean, he does, but then
he has
green eyes.
Yes.
I've seen him with green eyes. And then the question, and we were talking about this as well, Karen, why are we seeing? I think that needs to be the question.
Why are you showing me yourself like this? Why are you showing me?
Rather than, oh, there's an angel, great, and then we leave it. There's an angel. What are you showing me? Why are you showing me this angel? And what does it mean?
So a desire for relationship, a desire for a greater revelatory understanding, so a push to more. And so you ended up in this room called Perspective.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a journey to get there. So the first portion of that looked like the Lord said, you need to get some of my perspective on current situations, which was business situations, and trying to formulate strategy for clients. And the Lord said, the blockage is you haven't got my perspective, so you need to come to the room of perspective.
Can I ask, when you're going up there and you want your business to grow, you got this entrepreneurial grace on your life, and the Lord is saying you're missing something, how does that, what's your response to that?
I think my response is, what am I missing? Tell me what I'm missing, Lord.
Okay.
Like, and then what I want to go straight into the business side of relationship with Jesus, where he's giving me some clear bullet points of, this is what you're missing, this is how we get there. So for me it was, you're missing this strategy portion, let's go to my perspective. So I'm walking up these stairs, or what I thought was stairs, and I'm stood and I'm going, well, Jesus, there's no stairs here. And he's like, good, everything in my room of perspective will break your Greek thinking, because you are not meant to see the way that you see on earth, because the stairs don't look the same. So I'm looking and going, well, this looks like light. That's all I can describe it as, like panes of light. And then the Lord's going, if you'll trust me, grab my hand and we'll go up that. So I'm then walking up this staircase, which looks like light.
Yeah.
And we get inside the room and the Lord says to me, oh, sit down. And that was it. And I'm then going, there's no seat. There's no floor.
Wow.
Where are we? And I can just describe it as being inside the Milky Way, where the floor is completely transparent, but it looks like stars embedded into it.
Yep.
And again, it's that challenge from the Lord of, my perspective is not your perspective.
You're pushing very much into how Ezekiel describes God as seated on the throne outside the circle of the earth, the sense of galaxies and space, and the sense of perspective back down, the bigness of God, that you're touching a perspective of scale when you're in that. It's the last verse of Ezekiel chapter 1, and I have to say, there's a frequent place that I would go there. I actually didn't know that that's what you were going to describe, but that sense of you touch his vastness and that, and you're drawn into the God of more and the God who is being itself and life itself and the fullness of the breadth of his ongoing growing creation, the God who continually is life and continually is creator, because he doesn't stop as a one-time creator, you know, hence why the universe is expanding. But you sit in that, and the perspective is very different when you touch his scale.
Totally. And actually his kabod in that, his weight.
Kabod being the Old Testament word for glory, weight.
Yeah. And the weight of the Lord in that room is so, it's weighty, but it's magnificent at the same time, to feel the Lord entrusting you with something that you know for a fact that not many people have went there to then look down and get perspective on different situations, like whether it's a business situation or a health situation or a life situation. You know, it's not just for one thing.
What does that do to your relationship with God? Because obviously you're going to get strategy, but that can be quite bespoke and unique to you. But what does that do for your relationship with God when you start to touch vastness?
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, what it did with my relationship, it was always a call up to, I'm not meant to look at this level.
The peer level, the eyesight level, the human level.
It's meant to be, we are meant to sit in a higher place because of the call on our lives as believers of Jesus.
Very much the embodiment of we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. And of course, when God creates the heavens and the earth, we don't know how many heavens he created. Yeah. And then you're seated in heavenly places. You're touching scale.
Yeah.
Greatness, vastness.
Yeah. And then being able to explore a situation or a thing with the Lord and then him literally take you into the place in in earth. And I actually wonder if this is part translation. You know, in the Bible it talks about being translated to a different place. And I wonder if that is what this is, being translated to that place. And you're looking almost in as an outsider and you're seeing things happen and the Lord is then showing you things on people from that place. So with business meetings, what I used to see was, if I knew if it was strategy, if it was a sextant, people would be carrying a sextant, which is an old way to map ships and direction. And straight away, I'm like, oh, okay, this is not a consultation meeting. This is a strategy meeting. We need to now delve into the strategy for this meeting. And that would break something open for the client.
You learned a symbolic shorthand with the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
Almost like we would do dream interpretation.
Yeah, that or if we, do we do it in partial deliverance, you know, depending on where things are sitting.
You do feel where the demons are on people. And, you know, if it's at their back, it tends to be generational. If it's at their front, it tends to be something they've partnered with. You do get shorthands with the Lord. So your sense is that this is an open invitation, not just for you, but for many to come into a different perspective.
Absolutely. And I believe the Lord wants to grab us all and go, hey, this is in heaven for you too. You can come and experience that and then work that out on the earth.
Yes. I'm just going to come to you, Karen, and ask about your journey in and out of spiritual sight, because every one of us has had a wrestle and a struggle and a journey. But before you tell your story, Karen, I'm fascinated by the word, obviously, in the Hebrew for glory, doxa, you've alluded to, kabod, glory, weight. But the New Testament word for glory is doxa, which is where we get the concept of doxology. And that means God's thinking. Doxology is God's opinion, God's thinking, that actually when you touch his glory under the new covenant, it is not just the weight that you get, but you get his thinking on a matter. And so when you are taken to where he is and you get his perspective, you get his doxology, the way he thinks through a matter. And to touch his glory is to touch his thought processes around any situation, whether that's micro and a personal thing or whether that's a macro, that to touch his glory is to touch his strategy, is to touch his thoughts, is to touch his ways. And then you get the sense of that being done in the seer's life from outside the circle of the earth. So that Ezekiel being the Old Testament example, John the Revelator being the New Testament example, where he says, I was in the spirit, I looked up and a door was open and the voice that calls, and he travels. So both Old and New Testament, lots of examples in the Old Testament, and then the New Testament, the sense of I'm traveling somewhere to grasp the perspective of the Lord on a matter. And very often he takes us outside of ourselves and outside of our earthboundness so that we are able to partner with him in his doxology, how he thinks that we might be a solution to the earth. This is possible. Tell us your story,
amazing.
Karen.
You know, it's something, my background, not having any kind of I wasn't spirit-filled even growing up in church, so that wasn't something I knew. When it was perceived that I had a call to ministry, was entirely uninterested in praying or doing any such thing about it, and went to a faith healing service, which I was so annoyed that my mother, who was, I thought, the most intelligent person on the planet, believed in. And I went there with an attitude because I'm like, I can't believe you think this stuff is real. And I come to this place. It wasn't even a real church. It was a school auditorium. And the guy preaching and operating in what I now know was a word of knowledge, I watched him turn into me. So it's the first and only open vision I had ever had. I was 15 years old, and I watched myself preaching for an hour and a half and operating in word of knowledge. And so I go back to my pastor and I said, this weird thing happened. He's like, that's it. That's it. I said, that's what? And he had no language and no explanation other than you got a call to preach. Okay. So that was my first experience with seeing. Once I got saved, and you know, there was about a 7-year stretch in between that from ministry and getting saved. I started dreaming then, but my,
sorry, did you say then you got saved?
Yes, correct.
So you had your first God call,
yes,
open vision.
And I wasn't saved.
And you weren't even saved.
At all.
And then you got saved. Did you say 7 years
about
later?
About 7 years later.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Keep going.
About 7 years
God
later.
God is kind.
He really, really is. Mm-hmm. And then once I did, I started dreaming. That's when I started dreaming. And the dreams were literal dreams. So people I had never seen would come to my door and say this and leave. And I saw very literal dreams.
And then it would happen.
And it would happen exactly like I saw it. And it only happened when I was going to be in danger. If something was going to be wrong, it was always ahead of it. Uh-huh. And it was always that this is going to happen and this is how it's going to be. That happened consistently after I first got saved. Okay, then that only happened when I was in danger. After that, then, I started really walking with the Lord. Still didn't know him, because knowing him happened many years later. But another time of ministry. But now I'm in ministry full time. And the dreams are different. Also, they're prophetic dreams. So I have a dream of a ginormous man coming into my house, looking through all the rooms and all the closets. And I'm like, yeah, what are you doing here? And he's ignoring me and doing all the whole thing. And had a big key ring around his waist. And I said, how did you get in here? He says, oh, I have the key. I can get in anywhere I want. And another little man came in another door. And I'm like, you all can't be coming in. I go to my pastor. What the heck? He says, oh, Karen, that was the strong man coming to look through the house to see if it was swept and clean.
So you're learning spiritual warfare,
right,
through the revelation. It's growing.
With no language for it, though, because in my spaces, he knew enough to know that, but nothing
did
to do with it.
Did you feel, I don't know, peculiar, weird?
Oh, it was odd. The whole thing was, I thought it was the craziest thing ever. Uh-huh. But I will be honest, as a person who did routinely and significantly use drugs in an earlier time of life, I was like, this is like a trip. This is, you know, like a wild trip.
But isn't that tragic that your only reference,
only one,
was a non-Christian,
correct,
you know, dangerous.
That was it.
A fragmentation of your mental health,
yep,
which all drugs create,
yep,
rather than
anything,
oh,
spiritual.
I've read Isaiah, is it, you know, pick a scripture.
It was no connection to anything spiritual, mm-hmm, other than him telling me and knowing it had been another season, a journey of healing in my life. And he knew my, this is my pastor, so he knew, yeah, that. And he's like, this is just the strong man coming back to see if there's room.
The church dynamic had not normalized spirituality.
At all.
Would that have been the same in your childhood?
Yeah, I suppose it was slightly different with growing up in a charismatic church.
Okay.
You know, we would try and push in the Toronto blessing. It happened by then.
Yeah.
So people wanted to stick things on the wall, but there was no conversation about seeing in the spirit
yeah,
at all. It was very much Jesus can heal you and he can make you laugh on the floor, but there's nothing past that.
Okay.
Right. And at that point, when I'm having these dreams, I had first been introduced to that world, the Toronto world and all of mm-hmm. that. But again, they went, and that's how I learned and went, but there was no mm-hmm. unpacking of it. It was, yeah, God does stuff there. And that was kind of it.
And then in the lack of, whether it's high charismatic upbringing or intense charismatic upbringing like you had, Matt, or I mean, I'm Irish Baptist, so there was no spiritual kind of dynamic there at all. And yours learning sort of on the job. The fact that there was never a biblical explanation of even the most basic of scriptures, the fix your eyes on the unseen scriptures, yeah, in Corinthians, means that actually there was a deprivation mm-hmm. and a diminishing of our ability to have relationship fully with God, who is spirit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so you don't really know what to do with it. That one there was the closest connection with, you know, the scripture with,
yeah,
you know, the strong man comes back to
Mark's gospel.
And that was, yeah, it. So that, yeah, was a scripture anchor. But nothing further.
But then you lost it. You lost all spiritual sight.
I lost all spiritual sight. And I, now all of this, by the way, even the pastoring part is before I knew the Lord.
Uh-huh.
I was saved, but I did not know Jesus. That didn't happen until, 2018. And then in that journey of knowing Jesus and really getting to know him intimately and all of that, the seeing returns. Now it's different than ever. It's not a warning thing. It's just visions and dreams of all kinds. And so I didn't know in the beginning, you should write them down and ask questions and all of that.
But everything is sensitized and you're moving deeply in a sense of a visionary
going
encounter,
forward.
Loving Jesus.
Yes, going
and
forward.
Then it
and
shuts
then
down.
Because now I had just started EPs,
raising
which is
prophets.
Our Raising Prophets now.
Here.
And now I learn, if you're seeing, you need to be asking, what is this, what you just said?
Yeah.
What am I seeing and why and what does it mean?
Mm.
And I'm dreaming and having visions daily now. So I'm writing them down and I'm trying to pray, Lord, what is this? What do I do? What does this mean? What are you saying? And it was so much that it was overwhelming to me. I couldn't keep up. And I felt, now you're trying to be responsible with the Lord showing you what he wants to show you and you can't keep up with asking it and sitting with and all that. And I said, Lord, you have to stop. I can't keep up.
Ooh.
And he did.
It's interesting
because right here, just listening to you, I realized the progression for me because the last thing I remember, I've never had an encounter with the Lord in any of the visions or any of that. But they were different then. It wasn't like a warning thing. It wasn't that at all.
And it's never come back.
And it's not come back.
Apart until we pray for you today.
It's coming back today.
Because
the last thing that I remember was a vision and it was a progression of my life. I only realized that when I'm hearing you, that was the only dream that Jesus himself was in with me ever. He showed me the first, and it was just four scenes. It was the first scene was I was in a car and he was in the car. He beckons for me to go. The second scene, it was a toll booth and he was on the other side calling me to come through. The third one, we were hidden in a mountain, but it was sunshine all out. And the last part of it was he was standing with me and we were inside of what looked like a church or something spiritual. And there was a word covered on the wall that was getting ready to be unveiled.
So you've had these snapshots, I suppose, the possibilities of greater revelation. Matt, I think we have a lot of listeners who have maybe not mirrored Karen's story, but the sense of something got shut down, something got blocked.
Now,
you happen to have quite a vibrant sight gift before. Not everybody will have had that, but there will have been a block. Now, if you're listening to this, you need to kind of attune your ears right now. There's a block. And Matt, I know she's sitting right here, but let's do an assessment. What do you think happened there? Is that an internal vie, a fear, a curse? What do you think's going on there? Let's assess to help our listeners.
So
you're our test case.
I'll be the test case because I have to see.
I would say it was a curse that you put on yourself by saying, I don't want to see anymore. You are cursing your eyes then. So to me, you need to ask for forgiveness for partnering with a curse.
And I have done that. I have repented so many times because I realized when I asked him to stop and he did, I knew, this is because you did it.
I'm going to quote James 5 to you. Confess your sins to one another. And be ye healed. There is something about an agreement around some stuff that I actually believe that even though we slightly stumbled into that today, that just the integrity, which I honor you for, of I didn't realize what this would do. And then suddenly the whole door opens. And I think we are those who say things like, I'm not saying you said this, but our listeners will have done, I don't know that I could cope with it if I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be led astray. I think that's a right thing, but wrongly stated because it's a fear statement. A lot of you will have said, I don't want to be led astray without actually trusting the fact that you already have the indwelling spirit of God, that you already have the gift of the discerning of spirits, and that you know your master's voice. My sheep know my voice. So we say these things that actually put walls up, and then the creativity and the diversity of how God leads us is completely blocked up from us.
And you know, we do get afraid of what do we see. And that we touched on it a few episodes ago, Emma, where we said, you know, grab a group of people around you that you can iron sharpen iron with. And I can share a story where I saw Jesus walking away from me, and it broke my heart. And I went to David and I'm like, David, this doesn't seem right to me. I'm not sure what I'm seeing here.
Oh, to my husband, David.
To your husband, David. And thank God for David, because he turned around and said, I think you've just seen an antichrist spirit, because Jesus would never leave you or forsake you. That's biblical. And that was maybe 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And it flipped my thinking from a fear place of, oh, what if I see more and he keeps moving away, to, oh no, I now know what that looks like. I'm going to change my tactic in the name of Jesus, you go, and then actually see Jesus where he is placed, which is in us.
I think there is a journey that I'd like to give top tips and steps for. I think very much we rightly sit in the scriptures, the Hebrews scriptures, that talk about come boldly before the throne of grace, and the beauty of all of that. And oh, you could dine out in the since we have a high priest who has, you know, who has suffered and known our weaknesses, and all of the beauty of all of the meeting of Jesus and coming before him, and the whole concept of coming from the outer courts, and all of the identity wrestles that you have to go, oh, I have become the righteousness of God in Christ, therefore I can approach. So I think we can spend years, I come, and if I can get there, I can see. And I want to see the eyes of fire, and the very much the I stand before. There is a complete flip that happens where you move more into the Revelation 3:21, where I'm seated on the throne with him, and or I have put on Christ, or the John 17 and the John 15, the fusion, the merge scriptures, where I am no longer having to come boldly before, but I have found my oneness with you. I find that I live and move and have my being in you and with you, and that I live in you and you live in me, which is the greater portion of the New Testament scriptures. And then there is a sense of safety that you live every day within, and you are in him and you move with him. And very much then you're slightly more pushing into the concept of the wheels within the wheels. I'm moving with him. I'm moving in sync. I know when I'm out of time and with him. And sight is a much easier thing then, because I'm with him always. I'm not having to do the entry level of where are you? Yeah. Show yourself. And that there is a lifestyle of indwelling. And from the lifestyle of indwelling, I'm always with him. He's always with me. And I'm not doing the warm-up act of spiritual sight.
Yeah, that's good.
That it's if I use words like bilocated, at that point, because of the level of safety that provides, my gift of discernment doesn't need to be switched on. I already have it. I'm already in him. I'm already made righteous before him. He then is able to say, I need to show you the wiles of Satan, as some scriptures put it, no, the wiles of Satan. I'm able to go in and out of some very difficult situations to do what Elijah says, I heard what was going on in the king's bedroom, Elisha. You're able to be able to steward that level of secrecy, because you're in and out of places inside of him. You're able to go to what you're going of outside the circle of the earth, the higher viewing platforms, where you're able to own and see the perspective mm-hmm. of God. You're able to sometimes understand the hearts of men a little bit more because you're not using your sight gift as a judgment gift, but you're using it so fused with Christ that the tenderness of the shepherd, but yet the understanding of, and when it says several times in scripture, and Jesus knew what they were thinking, which is the portion mm-hmm. of the prophets.
Yeah.
You are supposed to know that as a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And very often I'm permitted to, I saw you pray, I heard what you pray. Very much when Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree mm-hmm. to Nathaniel. And that whole sense of the oneness in Christ means you're able to see as Jesus sees.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very different jump up.
That's good.
I'm in him, I know him, I talk to him, and then I see mm-hmm. as Jesus sees. Now you're touching that with your platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the next thing for you, Matt, is how do I see as Jesus sees? So I'm in his eyes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been in his eyes?
Been in him.
In him. Next job, in his eyes. So I'm in, we'll talk about it next time. I'm in his eyes. So I see mm-hmm. as he sees. And after you have lived for a time in him and the safety is almost a given and a natural, put on Christ, you see as he sees, and you see the demonic as he sees the mm-hmm. demonic. You see the angels as he sees the angels. In other words, they're not spectacular. They're a normal rough and tumble of spiritual warfare. So you're not put off by it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So there's a very definite journey. And I'm in the eyes of Christ, you know, and the sense of then, Jesus, you're in me and I am your glove in that sense of I am his hands, I am his feet, in the right sense of that. Use me for your glory.
Yeah.
But then I'm also in you. So I'm aware of how you do life and how you see things. I feel as you feel, but that's, I feel the favor of the Father. I feel the dancing hand of the Spirit. So all of that is a normal part of deep fellowship of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So it's really important, therefore, that we don't get into the, I can't bear this, this is too much. Because the jump should be, can I be inside you? John 17,
mm-hmm.
so that I can bear the weight of the next thing that I need to be shown. The next level of encounter, the next level of relationship. Push me on that. Was that clear?
Yeah. It was, because that whole concept of oneness with him.
That's it. It's fellowshipping.
Really, it really, really is. And I think sometimes when we hear it, read it, even talk about it, we're not grasping the melting together, the meshing together, the mergedness, which isn't a word I know.
Yes, of fusion.
The fusion of us, which means then me seeing, me hearing, me touching is the fusion. It's not me. It's the fusion of us. That absolutely, I think that is the next. And the awareness of now I am seeing, hearing, touching, feeling.
Yeah. And what we're talking about is experienced in the full incarnate God, rather than a partial God.
Yes.
Because people that, and this might be quite strong, but people that go, oh, well, I can't see, you're robbing yourself from a part of the Lord, and you'll never experience the fullness of who he is.
Yeah, you have to stop saying that. You absolutely have to stop saying that. I do think I have to say, sometimes though, I know that there are times I'm like, Jesus, I need a conversation with you. There are some things that you and I have got to chat about because I feel unresolved, or I feel hurt by something, or I feel deeply concerned by something, or we need a solution in all the rough and tumble and the stress and the strain of life. And very much at that point, Jesus and I, there's a slight moving out of that a slight repositioning for a conversation, if that makes sense, where Jesus and I will sit in proximity. Tell me what is going on here. Mm-hmm. Tell me why this is happening the way it is happening. Mm-hmm. Give me a sense of what do I need to know here. And I think that happens in stress and in crisis and in hard times where you absolutely need to be eyeball to eyeball sometimes. Yeah. I need to see your face.
Yeah.
And we need to have a conversation about some things because I don't know how to be sustained in this place unless you and I are in very deep conversation here. And we're sitting in proximity, but very much opposite each other. And then there is about to... a fusion and a movement and an indwelling, and I'm in your eyes, I'm seeing as you see. And then sometimes there is the I am human and I've got some questions, God. Yeah. And I think there is all of that. I think I am flesh, and so I eat my dinner and I kiss my children and I love my husband and I enjoy the fact that I am human and I don't deny, and I enjoy the sense of the taste of marmalade on toast. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I got to enjoy my humanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got to enjoy those favorite foods.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I've got to enjoy the hug of a friend, all of that stuff. And then I have to enjoy the journey up in the spirit, and I've got to enjoy the being inside his eyes and seeing as he sees, that I can prophesy and know his heart. And then I've got to be able to know when the hard conversation of the face-to-face is, that God talked to a couple of folk in scripture face-to-face as a man talks to his friend. So we navigate and we sit in all of those depending on the requirement of that moment.
Yeah. Is that not the way relationship is? Because really, pretty much every relationship is going to be a true one, is going to be that.
Yes.
It's no different than me talking to you or you.
Yes.
It's one minute you're talking about my electric clothes and the next minute you're saying, which I'll just, you'll say, okay, where are you? You're not going to hide. It's a whole, we've gone into a whole nother place. Same thing.
I think it's the normality of flesh and spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of humanity that is encasing a spirit right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then it comes back to the get good people around you.
It
so
really
you can
does.
Have these conversations
it really does.
So you can wrestle out.
Yes.
Iron does sharpen iron.
Yeah, yes.
It really does.
Yes.
It really does.
I think the invitation that started with your site, if you refresh us, what is the invitation to our listeners today?
To go higher and see clearer, I think was the invitation. And there is an invitation for everyone listening that... the Lord does want to encounter you in a different way. He does want to take scales off your eyes, and he does want to lead you into a place where you will see more than you've seen in the last 10, 15 years. For some of you, I'm actually here in like 40 years.
Very
Maybe
good.
That's you, Karen.
I'm here for it.
But the Lord is clearly saying this is a day where you are meant to see. This is a day where you are meant to sit in the heavens and see what I am doing on the earth, become spiritually wise and become wise to what the enemy is going to do in these days. For I am going to display my power in a whole different way if you partner with my eyes, says the Lord.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us for this quite intense and honest What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.